Okay, so first of all, I just want to briefly introduce myself for anyone who doesn't know me. So my name is Eliana Feifel. I am from Chicago and currently in Stern, but just finished the semester, which is very exciting. And I also want to say that I myself have benefited greatly from being a part of the Neely programming on Shavuot throughout the years. So me and my friends would stay up all night learning throughout high school, and we would kind of all together prep for Kabbalat HaTorah together. So it was very special and a very big bonding opportunity for myself and my friends. So I have a lot of Hakar HaTov to Neely and all their programming, and I'm happy that we can learn together now, even if unfortunately we won't be able to learn together in person on Shavuot night. So, because of that, this year is different in many ways. But previously, I felt like I was kind of preparing with my friends, and all together we were, getting excited for Kabbalat HaTorah. And this year, I feel like it's much more personal. And on a personal level, I'm trying to prepare myself for receiving the greatest and most special gift. And this is really something so powerful and so personal and so important to think about. So, because of that, I actually wanted to learn about something that I felt like I hadn't learned in depth for a really long time. And that is learning about the Luchot. The last time I actually learned about the Luchot, I think, was in eighth grade with my teacher, Mrs. Gross. And I remember really enjoying what I learned, but it's something that I hadn't touched for a while. And I wanted to learn about it further because of that. So that kind of introduces the shiur altogether. But before I formally start, I also want to say that this shiur should serve as a schos for a refuah shleima for anyone who is suffering in any capacity from what's going on right now. And it should also hopefully provide chizak for all the people who are helping, all the heroes, that they should continue saving the day and continue helping those who are really struggling. So the title of my shiur is Reshaping Our Thoughts on the Luchot, and that play on words is because part of the things that we're going to look at is the actual shape of the Luchot, and that will hopefully be very interesting. So some initial questions: what did the Luchot really look like? Do these different opinions, do they differ from one another? And also, how does this help me prepare for Zman Matan Torah Tinu? How, on a personal level, how does this help me prepare for receiving the Torah on Shavuot? So first, throughout these sources, we're actually just going to first discuss why the Luchot are so special. So if you look in Shmot, Parak Chaf Daled, Pasuk Yud-Bet, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Ale Elai Hahara, Vehaye Sham, Vatnalacha, et Luchot Ha'Evin, Vahatorah, Vahamitzvah, Asher Katafti, Lahoratam. Right? So Hashem tells Moshe to come up onto the mountain and to wait there, and that he's going to give him the Luchot. And that they will be inscribed there. So Rashi says something really powerful. Rashi says, Kol sheish me'ot u'shlosh asrei mitzvot bichlal aser hadibrotin. So Rashi's telling us, on the Luchot, not only do we have the aser hadibrot, but actually all 613 mitzvot are implicitly contained within the Luchot, which is something very powerful. And there's a Gemara in Masechet Brachot that takes this even a step further. And this Gemara basically takes the words of the Psukim and assigns a special aspect of Torah to each of the words. So I will show you what I mean. So the pasuk says, "Ve'etna lach et luchot ha'aven v'ha'torah v'ha'mitzvah asher katafti lahoratam." So according to this Gemara, the words luchot are referring to the Aseret Hadibro. The word Torah is referring to, it says Zeh Mikra, which is referring to the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. And the word Vehamitzvah is referring to the Mishnah. The words Asher Katafti is referring to the Nevi'im and Ketuvim, right? All the Sifrei Na'ach that we have. And the word Lahoratam is referring to the Gemara. So essentially, within this pasuk, we are being told that Hashem is giving Moshe the Lucho, the Eser Hadibrot, the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, the Mishnah, all of Nach, and also the Gemara. So if you go down to where it says key point, the Luchot really contain all of Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shba'al Peh. So because we're preparing to receive the Torah, it's really actually very fitting to learn about the Luchot, because we are you know, essentially receiving all of Torah Shebichtav and all of Torah Shba'al Peh. So that is something that is very important and kind of highlights just how important the Luchot are. Okay, so now before going to this second set of sources, I just want to give a little intro and say that now that we know that the Luchot are so important, we are going to focus on the differences in the physical attributes of the Luchot and perhaps some different opinions that Mefarshim will bring. Okay, so we are going to look in Shemot Parak Lamed Bet Pasuk Tetvav, and the pasuk says, "Vayifen vayared Moshe min hahar ushnei luchot ha'edu biado luchot k'tuvim mishnei avrehem mizeh umizeh hin k'tuvim." So this skips all the psukim of the time in between where the 40 days, 40 nights, where Moshe is on the mountain. But Moshe is essentially turning to go down the mountain to return to Bnei Israel. And in his hands, he has the Luchot. And what's very interesting about this pasuk and the words that we're going to focus on specifically is where it says, Mishnei Evrehem, that it sounds like it's inscribed on both sides. So Rashi picks up on this, and Rashi says, Mishnei Evrehem, Hayu ha'otiyot nikra'ot u'ma'asei nisimhu. So Rashi's telling us that actually the letters can miraculously be read on both sides of the Luchot. And the reason that that's so miraculous is oftentimes if you're looking at someone or something from behind, you see like a mirror type of image. But the nace is that you were able to see through the Luchot and it wasn't the mirror type of image. You were able to read it either way. So that's a big nace that Rashi is telling us about. So the Chizkuni actually understands this a little bit differently. And the Chizkuni says on the words Mishnei Evrehem, Michtav Chalul, that essentially the words of the Aseret HaDibrot that were on the Luchot were carved all the way through. So if you were to see the Luchot from behind, you would see the words being flipped, but you would see directly through him. Through them. And then Chizkuni adds, V'lakach hayu nochot lehishaber, right? So because of this, it was actually easier for the Luchot to be broken because it wasn't necessarily solid stone all the way through since the letters were carved in between. So I think that that's very interesting because we see two different opinions. We see Rashi who says, no, from the front and from behind, you were able to read the letters clearly without the mirror type of image. And the Chizkuni is telling us, no, actually, the letters were carved entirely through. Sorry, I was just admitting another someone in the waiting room. But Rashi is telling us that Rashi says that we don't have the mirror type image and you're able to read from the front and from the back. Whereas the Chizkuni is saying the letters are carved entirely through, but you still have that mirror type of image. So now going to the Talmud Yerushalmi in Masechet Shkalim. So it's actually really interesting. I thought without a doubt, everyone agrees that the Aseret HaDibrot are written once on the Luchot. We have five on one Luach, five on the other Luach. But there's actually a huge discussion about this in the Gemara, and there's a variety of opinions. So the Hebrew is a little bit complex, so I don't want to go through all of it. And also I myself am not great at Aramaic. I'll be the first to admit it. So I'm just going to summarize essentially what this Gemara is telling us. So Rav Hananya states actually the only opinion that I knew, which is that there were five dibrot on each luach, essentially making up the Aseret HaDibrot that we always think about on the Luchot. whereas Rav Imri says that there were actually 10 dibrot on each luach. So if you would look at the luchot, you would see 10 on one side and 10 on the other, which would make up 20 in total. So essentially the Esar HaDibrot would have been written twice. So you might think that's crazy, but Rav Shimon Bar Yochai actually said that there were 20 dibrot written on each luach, meaning that Esar HaDibrot were written twice on each luach, making up a total of 40 dibrot, which is also pretty crazy. I personally didn't even know that this was a whole discussion. And then Rav Simai takes this, you know, one step further, and he says that there were actually 40 dibrot on each luach. So that means that on each luach, we have the Aseret HaDibrot written 40 times. So as of now, we see that there's differences in terms of how, different opinions in terms of how the actual text of the Aseret HaDibrot appeared on the Luchot. And there's also a difference in opinion in terms of how many times the Aseret HaDibrot were written, which is very fascinating. And the last thing that Rav Hananya says is, Bein kol dibor v'dibor dikdukeha v'otiyoteha shel Torah, that between every word and every statement that was on the Luchot, you actually had all the Torah written in between. So based on this Gemara, I'd really like to see some, you know, written up sketches of what the Luchot could potentially look like, because it sounds a lot more complex than I originally thought. And I think what also most pictures depict the Luchot to look like. So that's actually very fascinating. And also in another Gemara, in Masechet Baba Batra, Daf Yadalet Amud Aleph, we actually learn about the dimensions of the Luchot. And this Gemara tells us that the Luchot were six tfachim high, six tfachim in terms of the width, and three tfachim in terms of the length, but because it's three tfachim twice because of the dual nature of the Luchot, it ends up being a perfect square of a 6x6x6 tefach of the Luchot. So in addition to this, that means the image in my head that I always had of the arched Luchot, that's not actually accurate. That actually doesn't go along with this Gemara, which is pretty revolutionary. And one other physical attribute of the Luchot that I want to share with all of you, that Rashi shares in Shemot Perek Lamed Dalet Pasuk Aleph, Rashi says, Harehu machtzav sanpirinon mitoch ohalo v'amar lo hapsolat yeh shalach. So essentially, Hashem shows Moshe it's defined as a quarry, but basically this big chunk of sapphire. And Hashem tells Moshe, you're going to use this sapphire to make the Luchot, and whatever is left over, you can keep for yourself. And this is actually how Moshe Rabbeinu became rich, according to the Tanhuma. Okay, so if we look at the key points of what we discussed so far in terms of the physical attributes of the Luchot, we see that there's, one, a variety of opinions regarding how the letters of the Luchot actually looked and if there was a mirror image or not. Two, there are also different opinions regarding how many dibrot were written on each luach, each side of the Luchot. Three, the Luchot did not have arched tops. And four, both sets of Luchot were made out of sapphire. So already I feel like I know more about the Luchot than I ever did before. And I feel like my elementary knowledge is kind of taken one step further. And I think that this is really important. And before going to the next source, I just want to quickly revert back to something I said at the beginning of the session, which is that I think one of the reasons that Shavuot is so powerful this year is because it allows individuals to really kind of prepare for Kabbalat HaTorah in a very individual way, as opposed to doing it, you know, with everyone by your side, staying up all night. And because of that, I think that this is such a big opportunity, but I also think it's really important to do some self-introspection. And I think it's important before you receive the Torah once again to ask yourself, how committed was I to keeping the Torah to the best of my ability throughout this year? And I'm about to be given the biggest and most precious gift. Am I really ready to take advantage of that? As Roni said in the last year, like, am I really in it for the long haul? Am I in it for the real stuff? Not only for the times where I'm feeling inspired, but am I in it entirely? And am I ready to take advantage of this opportunity that's in front of me? So I think that this next source will actually give Bezrat Hashem, give us all the chizuk we need to be able to look at these scary questions and to hopefully answer in confidence. So the Amik Davar says something very, very powerful regarding the two sets of luchot. So Bir show note, lo nitan koach hachidash klal, Elama Shashama Moshe Halchot Yada Mikoram Batora Shebichtav Alpichukim Umishpatim about Lo Yadal Chadesh Baatzmo Ela Bidimoi Milta La Milta. So just to explain that, the Amik Davar, who is also the Nitziv, he's saying that the first set of Luchot, Moshe was able to look at the entire text of the Torah and he was able to make connections and inferences based on the actual text of the Torah, but he wasn't able to make chidushim. That, unfortunately, was not within the realm of the first Luchot. But he says, Bishniot nitan hakoach lechadesh hilchot bechol dor v'hayinu ma shetalmid vatik atid lechadesh. Right, the second set of luchot had an entire different set of characteristics. So essentially, with the second set of luchot, not only was Moshe able to make chidushim, but any talmid who's truly dedicated to Torah was also able to create chidushim and to understand the depths of the Torah to a deeper level. So what is this telling us? The second set of luchot essentially have given us the ability to delve deeper into Torah. And as you dedicate yourself more to following Torah and to deeper Hashem, you're providing yourself with greater opportunity for deeper Torah insights. So this gives me, I can only speak personally, but this gives me a lot of chizuk. And it makes me feel like, you know, B'nai Yisrael received the second set of luchot. So the more I dedicate myself, the more I'm able to, Be'ezrat Hashem, understand Torah and to see its beauty and to uncover all that it has within it. And I think that as we're approaching Shavuot night, and as we're about to hopefully receive the Torah, it makes me want to take advantage of this opportunity. So before concluding, I think that there's some very critical questions that we have to ask ourselves. Number one, how does the Torah shape your life? Just to throw in the play on words again. But I think this is very important to ask ourselves. Looking back on this entire year, you know, it's very important to look, how committed was I to Torah? How committed do I want to be? How can I get there? How can Shavuot, the time of Matan Torah, receiving the Torah, how can this be the perfect time to make that switch and be, you know, hopefully as committed as I can possibly be? And are there any improvements you can make as you re-accept the Torah on Shavuot? So this is obviously a lot of pressure. It's a big opportunity, but I think that it's one that is very important for all of us to take advantage of. And I think it's very important to think about as we have such an incredible opportunity approaching. And Be'ezrat Hashem, I give us all a bracha that we should be able to hopefully take advantage of this opportunity, do the proper self-introspection, and really try to think deeply and passionately about what makes our life meaningful, and to hopefully dedicate our time and our energy and our emotions to that. So thank you so much for joining. Thank you to Neely for providing this wonderful opportunity. And I really appreciate everyone who came around. If anyone has any questions, wants to discuss any particular sources, please feel free. I'll stick around for the next few minutes. And thank you again. And Chag Sameach.
Thank you.
Thanks, Loyal.
Thank you.
Thanks, Aliana.
Thank you.